How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Conquering the dangers of spiritual procrastination. Would you bow with me for a moment, please? Heavenly Father, without you, we can do nothing. Without you, I can do nothing. And I ask you to help the preacher today. Help the people today. Not only by surrounding us, but help us to receive truths that will absolutely change the future. I ask this in the name of Jesus, my Savior. Amen. Amen. Well, let me give you a confession up front. I should be down there and somebody else should be up here. I came to preach to me. I wish there was a big mirror sitting right in that seat right there. I could look at myself so that I would know who I was preaching to. I really need this message probably more than anyone else here. Because I don't know about you, but procrastination comes real easy to me. And I have to face up to it and have had to give an account to God. So this is not a message today coming from some high up down to you. It's coming from some real low up to you. And how to conquer the dangers of spiritual procrastination. Well, let's take a couple, let's really get started because we've got some real spots where we're going to pitch camp here, but what is procrastination? I have it written in your note. The word comes from Latin, procrastinus, which translated comes close to this idea to forward something to tomorrow, to instead of to defer it from today to tomorrow, to the future. And in fact, another one is putting things off and avoiding them for as long as possible, despite conscious willingness and perhaps even desire to get them done. This is kind of shocking, but yet true. Then I found this little definition. It's a hardening of the arteries. Most of the quotes that I learned about procrastination are not good quotes. You know, put it off to tomorrow. You've made enough mistakes today. I've used that lots of times. Why to do today what you can put off to tomorrow? Mark Twain put it this way. Why put off today what you can put off tomorrow? And there are all kinds of quotes that have floated around about this subject of procrastination. In fact, on the back of your page, I listed 30 or so of them, and I'm asking you to sort out which ones are true from which ones are false. But this actually occurred. I am told that there was a seminar. By the way, psychologists are making a lot of money. People go to psychologists and therapists to figure out how to stop procrastinating. It is such a binding, imprisoning habit. And most of the psychologists, I've surfed to see what the psychological answers, most of them have to do with time management, which I don't think addresses the problem at all. And I hope today we'll let the Spirit and the Scriptures adjust us and address the problem. This actually happened. They had a seminar scheduled on how to conquer procrastination, and they had to put off the seminar because everybody had put off their enrollment, and there was nobody there enrolled in time to. So it's a really serious problem, and it has some pretty big consequences to it. In fact, maybe you know some consequences that I haven't thought of. I'm just going to throw out a few categories. But just to see, show how deadly, dangerous, there are ruined careers because of procrastination. Not just salespeople. I mean, almost every occupation, every profession, people enter it with, but if add the element of procrastination, you ruin a career. There are marriages that are failing because they procrastinate dealing with issues in the marriage. You just put them off. Just put them off. And it can destroy a marriage. It can bankrupt a business. Not making financial decisions in a timely manner and putting it off. One of the quotes is this. If there's a big hill in front of you to climb, putting it off till another day will not make the hill smaller. Businesses get corrupted. Education, whether formal or otherwise, does not get completed. And then we are ill-equipped. This could be spiritual education as well as... academic. So procrastination. Well, is there anybody here who put off their studying till the last night before the exam? Let's have a show. This one's not too. Who would dare show their hand on this one? Okay. Half of us are telling the truth. I don't know about you, but that was a pattern for me. Assignments due. Guess what? If they got done, they got done the night before. Not good. It was procrastination. So they didn't get done as effectively. It can ruin your education. It can damage your health. If we do not take hold of the health issue that we have and do something about it, either follow the doctor's direction or take the medications or whatever is the solution, it Well, I faced this tremendously when I was first diagnosed about 9 years ago with cancer of the prostate. And I didn't want to deal with it. I wanted to procrastinate, and then I found out a really neat term that I hid behind for a while, and I think there was certain legitimacy to it, and it's the term watchful waiting. Just test every few months see if it gets worse. But there reached a point where the PSA, what is it? PSA was going up, and I still didn't want to act, procrastinate. And fortunately for me, somehow came to grips with it and made a decision to be active about it. And I just finished this November will be the sixth year since I've been cancer-free. But without some proaction, if we procrastinate in the health situation, it can go downhill and cause untimely death. I guess the worst part about procrastination is it can have eternal consequences to ourselves and to others. You're going to see that in just a moment. If there are those that we do not win to the Lord, we just put it off. I wasn't a great testimony when Sarah walks by, sees somebody crying, and follows the impulse of the Holy Spirit And let's keep that little girl, Sarah, in our prayers. Would you do? How many will this week make that a concerted effort in prayer? Would you? Good for you. We'll do that. But there are eternal consequences if we procrastinate. A lot of people don't deal with the stuff of the Spirit, and they live a life of procrastination. We're going to see the devastation and perhaps even the denial of entry of the Lord. Well, what causes procrastination? And so there's no point just talking about procrastination. We all know about it, but we need to understand some of the causes behind it so that we can deal not with the effect, not with the symptom, but with the cause. You go to the doctor with the measles, he doesn't treat every little zit on your body, every little measle. He treats the source of the problem, so the measles disappear. There's no dealing with procrastination without dealing with those causes that provoke it and instigate it and bring it on. Now, this is basically what Elijah was doing. He went to all the people. He came unto all the people, and he asked this question. How long halt ye between two opinions? When it's time to make a decision about something, or you get an instruction from the Lord, here's the question. What time lapse? How long halt ye? How much time between what you're told to do and when we do what we're told? That's a really important question. That by the end of this next hour today, I hope we all know that we really need to shorten down that time. How long halt ye between two opinions? Why is it taking so long to do that which we know we should do? Why do we put it off? So I want you to catch three basic principles here at the beginning. And then I'm going to take the scriptures and show you how the scriptures apply to this issue. And number one is that behind every procrastination is an excuse. Nobody procrastinates without having an argument with themselves and internally going through some what they think is a rationale. Now, I'm going to give you the Johnston definition for the word excuse. An excuse is an unreasonable reason. Did you get that? An excuse is an unreasonable reason. Behind every procrastination is an excuse. And behind every excuse, there is a cause. The reason why we come up with the excuses, there's a cause. Behind every procrastination is an excuse. Behind every excuse is a cause. And then behind every cause, there is a spiritual issue. I want you to understand this at the beginning so that when we get to the scriptures, which this comes from, you'll be able to identify this progression and work to change the root problem, the root cause, so the root problem changes, etc. So, here we go. In the diagram, space beneath every procrastination is an excuse. And behind every excuse is a cause. And behind every cause, there's a spiritual issue. This is a very important diagram. So, let's apply this now and see how this works. First of all, let's go to the scriptures. Jesus said unto them, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And right after this statement, Jesus tells a parable. Here's the parable. It's about a man who put on a dinner and invited people to come. Now watch this now. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. Here we go. Are you ready? They began to make excuse. And the first said to him, I bought a piece of ground, and I have to go see it. I pray thee have me excused. Now, watch this, because I want you to see that an excuse is an unreasonable reason. Now, this guy's already, he can't get out of this. He's already bought the ground. Don't you think it would have been the wise thing to look at the ground before he bought it? Would you buy a lot? Would you buy an acreage without looking at it first? Now, he's already put his earnest money down. In fact, he's probably, according to this, he's already bought it. He's already bought the territory. He's closed on the deal. It's his. And his excuse is, I can't come there because I got to go look at something I've already bought. See how unreasonable his reason is. It's best call. He said, have me excused. Now watch what the next guy says. And another said, I bought 5 yokes of oxen. And there's 2 in a yoke, so he bought, I guess, 10 oxen. And look at this. I have bought, past tense. He's got these, he's bought them. They're his. And I go to prove them. I go to see if they're strong, see if they're muscular, see if they could do what I need them to do. A little bit late after you've already bought them. Again, an excuse is no reason, unreasonable reason. And so he says, I pray thee, have me excused. Now the third, another said, I have married a wife. Now I don't know how to, I don't know what the answer is to this one. But I know a lot of people who don't do things because they blame the wife. I don't do this, and I don't, but not any different than this guy. He was using it to get out of the dinner date. I'm married. I can't do that. And so another excuse. Now, watch how this parable closes, because this is tragic. Jesus says unto them, none of those men, these ones that offered excuses, which I invited, shall taste of my supper. Now, there are several elements that I want you to get out of this text. One, that behind every procrastination is an excuse. Do you see it plainly? The second thing I want you to get out of this passage of Scripture is to understand the eternal application of it. That people who procrastinate the invitation of the Lord will not get to eat. Remember how this started? Blessed is he that eateth in the kingdom. You miss the kingdom by procrastination. So have no doubt about this, that the consequences of procrastination are indeed severe. So look at it once again. A rejection of the spiritual invitation. Cause, excuse, procrastination, refusing to come. Now, let's talk about some of these causes of procrastination. I'm going to use this one as our main illustration, slothfulness. Now, that's why the picture on the front, the same as the picture on your second page at the top there, I went by the field of the slothful. All right? So I want to go back. Watch this now. I want to go back to this diagram just briefly. Now, watchly, because here is the cause level. This is slothfulness. That's the cause level. And you're going to see the excuse in a moment, which brings about the procrastination, which brings about the condition of the house. All right, let's go back to the text now. Watch this. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man that was void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. And nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall was broken down. Now, this is a case, we're going to see in a moment, exactly why this house got into this condition. So let's put our diagram here and understand it. I think this is parallel to your notes. So here's a guy that if you went by his house, it was all overgrown. As you can see, this is super overgrown, wouldn't you say? And the stones of the wall were broken down. See, this is the consequence up here. Procrastination produced the consequences. The excuses produced the procrastination. The cause, slothfulness, produced the excuses. And then we're going to deal with why we're in this condition here. Now watch this. Here's the excuse. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. There are other places in Scripture where it says, there's clouds in the sky. I can't go out today. Another guy says, the sun's too bright. I can't go out. Because excuses are unreasonable reasons. So the slothful guy says, now look at this now, because slothfulness up here, this is the cause. It's the slothful man that says this. You follow that, everybody? The slothful man says, the cause is his slothfulness, but it causes him to say, to give an excuse. There's a lion in the way. And so he procrastinates doing tasks, and as a consequence, his house is overgrown and devastated. Now, the house in this picture, this story is about the slothful man. He went by the way of his field, by the vineyard of those lacking understanding, and lo, it's all grown over. Weeds taken over. The stone walls broken down. This could be a literal house, but this house could represent your marriage. This house could represent your children. We put off instruction. We put off. Put it off. Procrastinate. This house broken down could be your occupation. The pattern is exactly the same. At the root level down here, at the very root cause level, is a spiritual issue. The root problem level, there's a cause. In this case, slothfulness. Then comes the excuse. There's a lion in the streets. And then this behavior of procrastination, and it produces this result, whether this be a house or whether it be a marriage or a family, whether we put off resolving conflicts with people. Years go by without dealing with things because of this thing called procrastination. Well, another cause is fear. Now, it's kind of interesting, and we haven't got time to do a detailed study on fears, but this, I mean, do you know that fear is not from the Lord? He's not giving us, right, a spirit of fear. Fear plays tricks on people. Fear causes paranoia. If you develop fear, you can think people are out to get you when they're not. You can think that things are bad when they're not bad. Fear will cause you to put a spin on situations that you observe. Fear can cause you to interpret wrongly what you see. Fear can lead you to where you are locked in by your paranoia, and like this slothful person, there's lions out there. You see, the evil flees when no man pursues. Okay? So fear is another one of these causes that can produce excuses, which produces procrastination, which brings about devastating consequences. Let's list a few more. Perfectionism. And there are certain things that I want perfect, and they are far too many. And I have discovered, and I confess here, one of the causes I have procrastinated over and over again is if I can't do it perfectly, I don't do it. I put it off, and I put it off. Because the perfectionist will come up with, look at this now, if this perfectionism is a cause here, and this will produce a different set of excuses from the slothful. They are totally different. They're not so paranoid, but they seem rational, but they are reasons that are unreasonable, which makes it an excuse. And so instead of taking care of business, we let it slide. Indecisiveness. Some people have learned not to make decisions, which, by the way, is a decision. And that's why it's very important that the character lessons that we learn from the Institute, that you do not let these character qualities get by you, because they are the answer to a lot of these problems. Anybody remember the definition of decisiveness? The ability to finalize difficult decisions based on the words of God. The ability to finalize difficult decisions based on the Word of God. But this decisiveness, this condition, and watch it, because there's a spiritual issue about indecisiveness, but it causes us to come up with the excuse that causes procrastination that damages the house. Now, this occurs a lot. I wish I had 20 minutes on this, but I don't. So let me give you just a few important sentences. If you do not see yourself as valuable, you will not see your time as valuable. If you do not see your time as valuable, you will not use it for constructive things. That is why, by the way, the basic seminar is next month. You should repeat it, if possible. Get others here. Because you learn the seven basic principles, and one of them, the first one, is the principle of design, which leads to a very important condition called genuine self-acceptance. Most people don't even understand their personal value, and because they don't see themselves as valuable in their ego, they try to self-promote and try to fantasize themselves into being something they're not. You can spend the whole lifetime trying to be somebody else, trying to be something other than what God fashioned you, because you haven't discovered the wonder of what God has personally put inside you. I tell you, dear friends, that He has filled you up with wonderful, wonderful deposits of no small insignificance. But if you have not discovered your personal value, then you will not think of your time as valuable. And if you don't think of your time as valuable, you will not do something constructive with it. So we waste time. We put in time, everybody does 24/7. What do we do with the time? You can end up spending your days playing with what amounts to tinsel and trinkets when eternal stuff is waiting. Genuine self-acceptance. Without it, it will cause us to come up with excuses. But if you see yourself as valuable, then you'll see your time as valuable, because you are. And if you see your time as valuable, how you spend it will then be constructive, creative, and intelligent, as opposed to procrastinating and destroying. Idolatry. Now there are probably a million, maybe 10 million, maybe more than that, types of idolatry. An idol is either a person, place, or thing, or activity. It's one of those four. It's a person, place, thing, or activity that has become so important in your life that it affects your decision-making. It becomes a love of yours. You idolize it. So we create, that's why we got really specific. John the Beloved, last words in his book. Beloved, keep yourself from idols. Now he's saying this to some of the most wonderful and spiritual followers of the Lord Jesus. Because idols are always trying to get into our life, and they beg for attention, and they beg for obeyance, and they beg for our time. They are no gods at all. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there breath in their mouth. And they that make them are like it, and so is everyone that trusteth in them. An idol is any person, place, or thing, or activity that becomes inordinate, out of the ordinary. It becomes inordinate. That's what an inordinate affection is. An inordinate affection is having affection more for something than you should have. That's called an inordinate affection. So an idol demands an unusual amount of affection to it. Now, I don't want anybody to get me wrong. I'm throwing no stones, and I'm not picking on any group of people, but I need to illustrate this. And so let me clearly. I'm going to use, for example, football. And understand me clearly. There's nothing wrong with watching a football game. I'm not up here anti-football thing. But watch this. But football can become an idol. It will control your schedule. It will control your thoughts. It could control your, it could cause and control your betting habits. It can control your conversation. When you meet with somebody, what do you talk about? Because something as okay as football can become inordinate. It becomes an affection so great that It usurps and controls how you behave. You follow that? Right? Now, let's go back to the diagram for a moment. So whatever the idolatry, I'm using football here, becomes the cause. And then the excuses come of why you owe it to yourself. Well, except, well, I don't know what they are. I mean, but all kinds of excuses emerge. And what should get done does not get done because an idol has usurped its place. I'm not picking a football. Movies. Music. Hello. Somebody want to name out of some more? So I don't get the blame for all this. Go ahead, name some. Ideas. Huh? Things, absolutely, things. Car, stereo. It's possible, good one. If employment gets out of the structure that Ephesians gives us in terms of priorities, God, your spouse, your children, your occupation, your ministry, and work gets idolized, it forces its way. So that everything else gets procrastinated because what happened is work becomes your identification. It becomes the cause for excusing other responsibilities that should be done, which leads to procrastination. We just put them off. I'll look after the wife some other time. I'll look after the kids some other time. I'll repair my own house some other time, etc. And we get this devastation. Idolatry. This could be a whole teaching. I don't know. Maybe we should do a whole session on what the Bible says about idolatry. Because I tell you, the idols of the heathen were often made out of silver and gold. Some of the idols today are made out of silver and gold. Jewelry. I'm not against jewelry, but it can become a controlling thing in a person's life. I'm not sure y'all got it yet. Well, let me tell you some of the idols that an idol just occurred to me now. And this, I don't know if this will shock you or not. Pets. Huh? Go ahead and say ouch or something. Pets. This society has learned to idolize pets. The doctor's fees for the pets are really significant. That's another aspect. An idol, whatever it is, will replace the proper lordship in your life, which is Jesus. So the pet becomes, as suggested here, we develop an inordinate affection for the pet. I am not against being affectionate towards your pet. In fact, the Bible says you ought to be. How you treat your mule is an indication of your character. But when that mule becomes so much of an inordinate, an out of the ordinary affection for a pet, there are people who lost a pet and are still years later in trauma because of it. They're not coping with life. And you know, dear beloved, I won't try and say this as scantily as I can, and only by implication for those who can pick it up. But now we have facing us marriages to pets. Yeah, oh yeah. Don't you kid yourself. The movement in America is not going to end with a sodomite. The sodomy progresses we have had in recent months reported on the news from France. A woman who married a dolphin. Now listen. Let me tell you how stupid this is. Do you see how stupid this is? What causes this? It is idolatry. It is when something takes over and has more power in your life than it ought to. I don't know if y'all look. I don't know whether you believe in me or just you're a shocker. I don't know. I'm not reading your face very well today. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what's happening to the younger generation en masse in America. Video games. They're absolutely possessed. And those idols are producing behaviors. Those idols, they become the cause of excuses for doing homework, excuses for thinking, excuses for interacting with people, excuses for being a churchgoer, doing the dishes, getting stuff done on time. Those things are cruel gods. But in mass, in America, we are turning ourselves over to idolatries. And some of them are, well, they're all stupid. When you make anything God in your life besides God, you are doing something very stupid. Whether it's a game, a sport, a hobby, a thing, a house, a car, a person. And so, yeah, I better calm down here. This is, you understand, this is now the post-Christian era in America. Do you understand that's the context in which we now live? We live surrounded by idols. Our idols are much more sophisticated than in Africa, maybe. They have totem poles. They have drawings made out of carved wood with painted faces. Huh? That's a good point. What controls a person, you see, other than God, is an idol? And I suggest to you that in the subject of today, these things, the cause is behind the excuses, which are unreasonable reasons, which lead to procrastination, which means that we don't take care of business, whatever that business should be. Okay. Now, I only put three down here. That's all I could think of. This first one's kind of like, you're going to see this one in the scriptures in a moment. I intended to do it. It never got done, but I intended it. Now this leads to a very great deception. I don't know where we picked this up. My wife told it to me first. Here's what we tend to do. We tend to judge ourselves by our intentions and judge others by their actions. We think we're off the hook. We think, well, I intended to do it, as if there's some great virtue in having the intention. No wonder someone wrote that adage that says the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I don't count. You're going to see that in the scriptures in just a minute. I want you not to miss this, though. You see, we don't excuse other people's behaviors or actions. We excuse our lack of actions because we had the intentions to do it. We never did it. We procrastinated. We put it off. But, yeah. Now listen to this one. God knows what was in my heart. Oh, oh, he certainly does. And it showed in your behavior. And yet we have hidden behind this sentence for I didn't intend to. I didn't mean to. God knows my heart. And I've heard that from everything from a thief to an adulterer to a fornicator to a pervert. And now, here's one I use, have used. That's why I didn't study the night before. I do better under pressure. You understand these are all lies. You understand? They're all lies, right? When I say I do better under pressure, it's because I'm at a deadline where I have to do it or else. Got it? I could have done it just as well if I didn't procrastinate. I could have done it a week earlier. Just as well, except that as a procrastinator, you don't do that. You know, somebody said, the hard thing about work is getting started. One of the hardest jobs I know about is writing. Like, this is not hard for me. I come here and I am comfortable with the words of Scripture. If I weren't comfortable with the Bible, I wouldn't know what to do here. I'm also comfortable, usually by the time I get here, I have been through the Scriptures sufficiently to have my mind renewed on a given subject, because that's what I do. I forgot what I was going to tell you. Writing. When I sit down to write, do you know what happens? It all floods. Sometimes I can't write fast enough. The Bible talks about, give me the tongue of, like the hand of a ready writer. You know what a ready writer is? A ready writer is somebody so full and hardly wait to get to the pencil and paper because he's got to get it out the end and into the paper. But I can procrastinate writing. If somebody asked me for a paragraph to put in the newspaper, my failure would be, I'll think about it. I will procrastinate it. And if I leave it till the last moment and I sit down, it will come to me usually. In fact, let me tell you, one of the reasons why we perpetuate procrastination is because sometimes we get away with it. I have got away with procrastination, which has helped me stay a procrastinator. You follow that? Like if I could still pass the exam by cramming the night before, what do you think I'm going to do the next semester? So I cheat. So I wait till the last second. But the moment you sit down or start the task, whether it's writing or any other, once you start it, if you can get the start of it, it just happens. The work gets done, the thing gets written, the ideas flow out, God brings it all together. But the procrastinator lives days, weeks, months with an unfulfillment, with a gnawing in the background of stuff I know I should have done. There are people who procrastinate some things all of their lives. They never get to it till death, in before death. How tragic that is. All right, so what are the spiritual issues about procrastination? Are you ready? Or should I put this off till next Sunday? All right, can you take it? Number one. Procrastination is condemned by Christ. And he, Jesus, said unto another, follow me. Now, the guy didn't respond by saying, I'm not going to follow you. What he responded with was a procrastination. I'll get to it, but let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, but you go preach the kingdom. So another one said to him, look at this. This is this intention thing. I got good intentions. I will follow thee. But then he wants to procrastinate. I will follow thee, but let me first go say goodbye. Do you know how many people in America have intentions to someday follow the Lord? Huh? Have you ever met them? Have you talked to them? In fact, they are so numerous that, you know, well, someday I'll take care of that. Someday. But not now. And this is what prompted Jesus to say the message of Drew this morning. No man puts the hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. Procrastination is a rejection of God at the most fundamental basic level. So here is Paul reasoning with Felix, who is the governor, and he has reasoned with Felix about righteousness, what's right and what's wrong, what's temperate, and about judgment that is ultimately going to come. Now watch this. And Felix trembled. I mean, was he under conviction? He was under such conviction from what Paul was saying to him that he literally shook. But look what he says. He procrastinates. And he answered, Paul, go thy way for this time. And when I have a convenient season, I will call with thee, call for thee. Putting God off when he calls, when he deals with us. Look at the scripture. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. If you go on and read the 24th chapter of Acts, you'll discover Felix never, in that chapter, ever gets back to God. Procrastination is not just a thief of time, it's a thief of eternity. Now, procrastination is a rejection of God's steps to success. Now, first I want to read the scripture, and then I want you to get this. This is a really important one. David put it this way. He said, I made haste. Now watch this. And delayed not to keep thy commandments. No procrastination on the commandments of God. Why? And I don't want you to miss this. You see, the instructions and the commands of God are his directions for success in your life. God's command are the success steps that if you follow will produce success. That's what the commands are. What do you think the commands are for? Ruin your life? God didn't come to ruin your life. He comes to bless you. He comes to redeem you out of a ruined life. And he gives you an instruction because if you follow the instructions, you get the benefit of an obeyer of the commands, of the instruction. You get the success that goes with that. That's simple. But to procrastinate, that is, if you delay, so let me ask you a question. What is the time lapse between you getting instruction from God and when you carry it out? What's the time lapse? Or can you say with David, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments? What's the time lapse? What has, you see, remember this definition. I got it 2 years ago. You might remember it. Procrastination is disobedience in slow motion. And I'm going to show you how that's true in just a moment. But God tells us to do things and we intend to do them some year. Some time that grows into years and never gets done. Well, I always intended, I know God wants me to reconcile with my father or my mother or my uncle or whatever it is. And he has spoken to us about those things, but we've delayed. That's procrastination. And it's disobedience in slow motion. And worse than that is it's a rejection of the success that God, it stops you having what God wants you to be blessed with right now. How many people intend to study the Bible every day? I don't know how many of you have Bible software or use it. I don't know what your Bible study habits are. Everybody in this place, in this church, should be part every day of a daily reading and studying and research of God's Word about your life. It's the mirror of God, His Word. But we intend to. And might happen once in a while. But see, instructions like that give attention to the reading of His Word, plain statement of Scripture, Paul to Timothy. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Work with me in our shame. We all know these verses. But do we do it? What's the gap time between an instruction and the fulfillment? And we fail to get the benefits of the success because we don't say with David, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Now, God, according to the Scriptures, and I love this about God, by the way, and that's why I have theological troubles with a few categories of theologues. God is your contemporary. Did you know that? He is your contemporary. God is here present really right now. He is responding to you, wants to deal with you and I right now. Moment by moment, every day, all the way. He's our contemporary. God deals with us in the now. So let's look at Scripture. I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I helped, aided thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. This isn't just referring to the redemptive work of Jesus. This is what do you need to get saved from? What does God? He deals with us in the now. Now, procrastination, we're going to come back to this almost same verse because it's seven times or so in the Scripture. Procrastination has the effect of hardening our hearts. So it's easier to procrastinate next week than it was this week because the heart gets hardened. Now, let's look at the scripture because I don't want to miss this. This alone should point out to you how devastating procrastination is. He is our God. We are his people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. And look what he says to us. Today, if you will hear his voice, next verse, today, if you will hear his voice, look at this instruction, harden not your heart. As in the provocation, that's referring to the Israel when they were in the wilderness, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. I was grieved with this generation. Why? Because they put off doing what he said for 40 years. And God expects us to respond to him today. He's dealing with us today. And so today, if you will hear his voice. And that, look at this scripture. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold from the beginning our confidence and steadfast unto the end. Look at this. Let's repeat again. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. For some, when they heard the instructions of God in the day, they provoked him by putting off an obedient response to his speaking voice. Procrastination hardens the heart. And then God puts a limit on our response time, after which it becomes disobedience. When God speaks to us today, he has a time limit for us to respond to that. And after that, it becomes disobedience. And that time limit is the length of today. Again, look at this. He limiteth a certain day, saying today to David, today, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. God gives us a limit to respond to his instructions, and it is today. And if we don't do it today, it becomes disobedience. Now, there are some things in which God speaks to you that require a response faster than today. Sometimes God speaks in a way that he expects a response for you in an hour, sometimes in a split second. God speaking. If we procrastinate, if we don't respond to God's limitation on whatever the instruction is and put it off, it becomes disobedience and ultimately its consequences. And then lastly, we are to do with each other, really, what I am trying to do this morning. We are to encourage one another to respond to God immediately and to not procrastinate. I'm going to get to the verse on that, but before I show you that, let me take you to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know about the angels visiting. You know about the escape strategy that God has for Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. And yet, while the rain of fire is coming down, destroying those cities, look at this. What was Lot doing? He was lingering. And so the men, which were really the angels, laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. And now watch this, because the next phrase is really important. The Lord being merciful to him, he got added mercy. Otherwise, his procrastination, his lingering in Sodom and Gomorrah would have left him destroyed as much as all the rest that were in that city. But in God's mercy, he had the angels grab this lingering man, this lingering woman, these lingering two daughters, and take them out of the city. They brought them forth. And you know the story. Second shortest verse in the Bible. Anybody remember it? Remember Lot's wife. She looked back, turned into a pillar of salt. Now, this overcoming of procrastination is so important that we are instructed by God to exhort one another, now watch this, and to encourage one another to respond to God immediately. Exhort one another daily. Now look it. While it is called today. Why? So that none of us can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ. Watch. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, and while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. The message I want us to receive today is not just to end this procrastination. I'm going to give you the big final finale to it in just a moment. But dearly beloved, we are to be encouraging one another all the time not to procrastinate. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of us get hardened, because that's what happens with procrastination. It hardens the heart. That's why what people procrastinate, a good portion of it, I'm just guessing numbers now, I'm throwing out a generalized number. 80% of what we intend to do will never get done. Why? Because when we were instructed to do it, we procrastinated, we put it off, and our hearts were hard. So let us encourage one another over and over again. Look at back to this verse. Exhort one another every day while it's called today, lest you be hardened. Well, the answer to procrastination is really not complicated. It's summed up, by the way, the opposite to procrastination is diligence. It is the opposite. And I want to apply this definition to diligence, although it's not the official one. But it applies. Instant obedience to the initial promptings of God's Spirit. This is the way to overcome procrastination. When you get the word from the Lord, the leading of the Lord, you don't put it off. You do it now. In keeping with the testimony of David, I made haste, and look at this now, and I delayed not to keep thy commandments. It's the only solution is to reverse the whole process. I hope that along with me that today you have understood some of the dangers of spiritual procrastination, because the spiritual things are the undergirding that affect our social decisions, our educational decisions, our vocational decisions, our domestic decisions, our marital decisions. Everything is our spiritual. So if we procrastinate the spiritual, we shall have the devastation in all of those areas. Spiritual procrastination is an enemy that God wants us to conquer. How do we do it? by instant response to the initial promptings of God's Spirit. And we will overcome and get the benefits. The benefits. Remember, God's commands are His steps to success. So we say with David, I hasten and I delayed not. Keep thy commands.
Amen. We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.